Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Call Me Adam, broadcasting on the Broadway Podcast Network. On today's episode of Bearing It All with Call Me Adam, I am recording at the Green Room 42 with actress and recording artist Eden Espinoza. Hi, Eden.
Hi, Adam.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm thrilled to be talking to you.
Thanks.
So we are going to be talking about your upcoming residency at the Green Room 42.
Yes.
It's called Unplugged and Unplanned, which I love.
Thank you.
So how did the residency come to be?
Yeah, a couple months ago, I did a show at Standards at the Standard, which is a series that Shoshana Bean has curated and is producing out in LA, and it's meant for artists to come and just play and try new things. It's a very off the cuff, spontaneous environment, and it scared the crap out of me. And I actually ended up having a lot of fun with the gig, and I really wanted to continue that challenge and continue that journey with this residency. I made a very conscious decision, deliberate decision to have it be different every week. Mm-hmm. And mostly just because I feel like I want to challenge myself with my repertoire. Like I'm sort of tired of the songs that I've been singing for so long. And so I want to try new things and involve the audience. And I want to make sure that they feel like a participant and not just a spectator. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth between me and the audience, and that I'm really excited for.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I believe I read there's going to be a Q&A section.
Yeah. I say that at all my concerts, actually, uh-huh, because I've never really done a proper cabaret, mm-hmm, to say, you know, like my shows are always more like concerts, and I always open up the floor and tell people, if you want to sing along, if you want to dance, if you have a question, just shout it out. Mm-hmm. I like a very interactive environment at my shows. And so, yeah, I'm going to encourage people to ask questions or tell me whatever they want. They're like, you know, I want people to feel like they've gotten to know me a little bit after they leave the show.
That's wonderful. What are you most excited about with this residency?
For me, it's like a lot of the reasons why I chose to do things a certain way this time around are selfish. mostly because I want to challenge myself, and I want to try new things, and I sort of have been struggling over the last couple of years with this idea of like of comparison, of perfection, mm, of living up to my younger self, living up to other people, living up to people's expectations of me. And I really wanted an opportunity to bring who I am today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you in this industry, when you know, for example, I haven't worked on Broadway since 2008. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people like have a certain, they kind of keep you in the time frame of the last time they saw you live.
Yes.
And it's been a long time since then. It's been a long time since Wicked, and I've done a lot of other beautiful shows. They've just been outside of New York. Mm-hmm. And I just want people to start to get to know me today, mm-hmm, and the artist that I am today and the voice that I am today. And so It's a combo of that, of me getting over certain fears and irrational insecurities, and just trying something different and new. Yeah.
How do you feel? Because you mentioned that you've changed since the last time you were on Broadway and your voice has changed.
Sure.
How do you feel, or what changes do you feel your voice has gone through, or that you have gone through, that will make you so different from before?
Yeah. I mean, I think just naturally, obviously, you know, your voice changes the older you get. Mm-hmm. And I feel, I can only speak for myself, that like, you know, when you've done a certain thing on Broadway or in any industry, I think it's safe to say, you start to become, you know, pigeonholed, mm-hmm, in that. And for me as an artist, I noticed that I was limiting certain genres or you know, well, I don't really, I was trained classically, but I don't ever sing that because that's not what I do and that's not what people know me for. And I want to do it and yeah. I can do it. Yeah. So it's also that like things have changed, but also it's been like limits that I've put on myself based on my own resume. Mm. So it's also that like, I want to explore and I want to try and I want to just like play with all the colors, yes, instead of just this little palette. Yes. You know what I, yes, mean? That's so wonderful. Yeah.
And what's making you nervous?
That whole idea is very scary. Mm. You know, when you're, but it also, I think the risk to reward ratio is you get so much out of it on the other side. You know, if you're willing to try new things in front of people and make mistakes and show that you're human, it's just, there's a freedom that comes with it. That is, you know, such a gift.
Yes.
And, it just brings, I think it also just provides like a sense of, okay, like we're just here hanging and, you know, it's going to be a fun, like laid back night. And yeah, so the whole thing scares me, but in a good way.
I love it.
I had a therapist tell me one time that like fear and excitement are on the same scale. Mm-hmm. And it just like matters on how you, where you put the marker on or how you view it or how you experience it. And so whenever things scare me, I acknowledge that it scares me, but then I somehow try to view it as more excitement.
Yes. And,
but, it's the whole thing is scary.
Yeah.
Even doing a residency is scary. Mm-hmm. You know, even if I had the same show every week, I'd still be scared, but I'm excited and looking forward to it. It's going to be so fun.
I'm actually going to jump ahead for a moment because, yeah, as you talk about fear, one thing that, you were very afraid of in regards to your sophomore album, Revelation, mm-hmm, is your songwriting.
Yeah.
So what was it that you were so afraid of for so long to write your own songs that with this album you were able to break through that fear?
I think I've always wanted to write songs and I love the craft of songwriting, mm-hmm, and I respect it immensely. I have a love affair with many, many, songwriters that I just admire and respect. And a lot of them happen to be friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when I would start to write music in the past, I judged it before I had even started it. Like, well, I'll never be as good as this person. And this song, mm-hmm, sucks, and crumple up and throw away, you know? And, I was at a point in my life personally that I don't think I had any other option. Like, I was just consistently writing down therapeutically like my thoughts and my emotions, and sometimes naturally they came out in a poetic form. So I just reached out to people who have been doing this longer than me, mm-hmm, that I love and respect and that I knew would create a safe space for me to to show my innermost thoughts and feelings to. Mm-hmm. It's like would nurture me in the way of like, instead of spoon feeding me the process, uh-huh, guiding me to let me find my own way through,
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm,
so that I could continue to do it on my own, yeah, instead of like, well, this is what the song should be, or it would be better if it was this. And they let me, mm-hmm, have input and they let me guide. And it was a true collaboration on all of that material. So did I lose track of your question?
No. It was, you were talking about how you were working through the fear of.
Right. So it was just like, yeah, I was just at a point where I was like, here's my journal.
Yeah.
And which one do you want to start with?
Yes.
You know?
I love that.
So.
I love that.
Yeah.
And one person that you really do credit, that you talk about in the video on your website when talking about the creation of the album, is, yeah, Izzy Ray.
Yeah.
And how listening to her gave you some freedom,
yeah,
around the whole songwriting. So what was it about her and her style that was like, well, if she can do it, I can do it?
Yeah, it was actually, I had heard her album and just fell in love with her as an artist, mm-hmm, her point of view, her lyrics, her melodies, her voice. But then also the production side of the album blew me away because I knew that they did it themselves, which means they didn't have a lot of money, but it sounded expensive and it sounded just like perfect. And so I asked who produced her album because I was like, I want to work with that person. Yes. And I had already started collaborating on songwriting with Izzy, and she was like, oh, actually it's my boyfriend. And I was like, what? And you know, I just called him, and originally my I had started talking with Izzy about songwriting, but my second album was gonna be like my first album, which was Broadway content, you know, brought out of context and reimagined. And he's the actual, the one who's not from the theater community, doesn't really know anything about musical theater. And so he was just questioning why I wanted to do another album of covers. And I'm like, well, in my industry, that's what you do unless you write. And he's like, well, do you write? I said, well, I write, like I write my thoughts down, but I haven't actually, you know, written a song, but I've always wanted to. And he was like, I've only been talking to you for like 20 minutes and you have a lot to say. And so why don't you just try it and see? And so Blaine was his name's Blaine Stark, and they're now married, but he was the one that started encouraging me to just try.
I love that.
And here we are. And so co-wrote several songs on the album with Izzy and other amazing artists as well. And yeah,
it's incredible.
Thank you.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I'm very proud of it.
You should be. So going back to the residency for one moment, and then we'll continue talking about the new album.
Yeah.
In preparing for this residency, do you prepare the same way that you prepare for a musical theater performance? And if not, how does it differ?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait, you don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Burying It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying,
No, I think this one is less preparation for me, and intentionally so. I mean, I'm definitely going to pick every week a song list, and I'm definitely going to involve the audience in it. I'm going to reach out on social media and be like, all right, tell me a handful of like pop covers that you want to hear. We're going to do every week an off the cuff request section for musical theater songs only. So and that's going to be very unprepared. My friend Max Grossman is going to be playing for me, and he has an iPad full of everything. And so, yeah, I just know that it's been like, I don't want to do that because so-and-so does it better. And I don't want to be living in that space anymore. Yeah. And so I want to give people what they want though, too. You know, I've always wanted to hear you sing whatever, like I insert a song, I don't know, Waving Any Through dream, a Window, like, right, right. You know, and so I might not know the whole thing, but I can do a verse and a chorus for you and moving on, right. You know, I'm going to have some special guests as well. And yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm super excited.
It's going to be so much fun.
But yeah, so the preparation will be different. I mean, I'm definitely going to, it's going to be rehearsed. You know, I'm going to have a set list every week, but it's going to be different every week. And going to be very choose your own adventure.
I love that. I love that. And I think the audience will love that too.
Good. I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how it pans out.
So going back now to your sophomore album Revelation. So how long did it take you to write and record the album?
I think from first song being written to release of the album was about a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was a minute because then even we were almost done. And I've like had a lot of lived a lot of life emotionally over the last couple of years that that manifested itself physically in my voice and not in anything in terms of damage, but just like constriction. Like I didn't have the facility that I used to. And most people wouldn't know, like it was just an emotional mental block that I was having. And I had recorded the vocals and then I went to Williamstown and did our first run of a musical, Lempicka, that I've been working on. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple breakthroughs. And so I went back after and I called Blaine and I was like, we need to re-record these vocals. I'm in a much better place and I will not be able to live with myself. And Blaine was the producer. He's the type of producer who he doesn't use any studio magic. Wow. No Pro Tools, no auto-tune, no Melodyne. That's all me, you know. One song is a complete live pass with me in the band. So he's very old school and I knew that I could do better. So it took a little, things like that made it take longer than usual.
Well, we're going to switch gears for a moment and play a game.
Great.
Based upon the name of your sophomore album, Revelation.
Okay.
So I'm going to hopefully get you to reveal a few things about yourself that
I'm scared.
Won't be talking about during the residency.
Okay. Or will I?
Or will you? So how do you unplug and recharge from today's social media infused world?
Ooh, this is great. This type of like work I prioritize more and more the older I get. So I love to read. Mm-hmm. And I actually love to read an actual book. Mm. Like I do have books on my iPad, but I prefer to have a page turner because I like to hold it. And I like that feeling of like when I finish it, I'm like, I finished a book. Like,
I love that.
I just love it. So reading is a big thing. Unplugging for me is anything out of nature. Mm. Like even if it's just walking outside in the city or mm-hmm. Central Park without headphones, like just no music, just me. I feel like I can really just hear myself think and get to process my thoughts a little bit more. I love a meditation. Mm-hmm. That really helps me as well. And then weird things like, you know, doing things around the house, like organizing mm-hmm. or, you know, cleaning things and organizing things. Those are a few things.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. What is one role that you got that was completely unplanned?
Trina. I mean, although I had auditioned, I mean, I never thought I was right for that role. I passed on the audition two times before they came around again. And I told myself to get over yourself and maybe there's something that they see that you don't mm-hmm. and it's James Lapine and Bill Finn, so get your ass in the room. But Trina was the most unexpected. I think just because it's not ever a role I had my eyes on mm-hmm. and it's never a role that I would have seen myself in. It was such a beautiful gift and that tour I had the best time.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
What was the worst thing to happen to you while playing Elphaba and Wicked? Jeez. Whether that be like an injury, a mishap, scenery issue, costume.
So many ones to choose from.
Yes. I mean, you can tell me them all.
Yeah. I mean, oh, wow. There's just so many. And a lot of them have to do with acting out. But But my favorite one is, you know, you wear your mics at the top of our, in Wicked, we wore them at the top of our wigs, like just peeking out, you know, beyond the hairline on the top of your forehead. And, you know, Megan and I did Wicked together I did it with Megan the most. And so we had several different versions of things. Like, things would evolve over time, mm-hmm. and we were always very in sync with one another. And so for a long time, when she was trying to change the frock into the ball gown, she mm-hmm. would do these like really deep knee bends before she would try the spell. Uh-huh. And one time she exhaled as if you're trying to like move the bangs away from your eyes, like, yes. like that. Well, she did that, but it went directly into her mic, which in turn made it sound like the hugest fart you have ever heard while she's doing the deep knee bend.
Oh my God.
And the audience, well, it happened. It like just echoed through the Pantages. She then says, "Elfie, excuse you," which made the audience laugh even more. I was just head down, shoulder shaking. It stopped the show for a good couple minutes. Like, people were just, the audience could not. Like, what did you have for lunch? Like, she just kept going, and I would just stood there and took it. And it was, that's like my all-time favorite.
That's a
mishap.
Great story.
Yeah.
I love that. I do have one serious question about Wicked.
Sure.
Because playing Elphaba, I mean, you have those crazy, crazy high notes. And how did you like preserve your voice throughout that time?
Well, I was really young. Uh-huh. I was a lot younger. And it's strange because I think sometimes people don't remember the timeline. Like, I mean, I was Adina Standby in the original company. So yes.
I saw you in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes.
So then after that, I did a contract every year for 7 years. Mm. And so I was still like in the beginning group of people kind of before it developed like a crazy headspace mm-hmm. about it. Mm. And I think that because I started at the time that I did, it was the first big job that I did, my Broadway debut, I didn't have the mental space to freak out and to be like, my voice. Like, it never, I mean, it's difficult. But I didn't have that. I just did it.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff came in like later in life when I became more well known, I guess, uh-huh. Those kind of things. But, I definitely remember being my first full week that Adina was out and getting to that Saturday night. And it was right before Elphaba, spoiler alert, pops out of the trap mm-hmm. when Fiero does the knock.
Yeah.
And I remember hanging there getting ready, and I looked over at Joby, who was Adina's dresser, and I was like, Idina Menzel is the hardest working woman in show business. Pop out. Like, because I was so tired. That was my first time doing that many shows in a row. And I just remember thinking like, oh my God, we have one more tomorrow. Okay. One more tomorrow. But it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Well, I know we loved you in the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love the show so much.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's beautiful.
And 16 years later, it's still running, which
unreal.
Is incredible. Yeah.
It's beautiful. I was there. I went on the anniversary, the 16th, and it was just a crazy experience, just remembering tech in that building and remembering me feeling just like so small and just I just saw everyone's faces and I heard, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Just remembering that original cast, but also like looking around the audience and people that bought the souvenir program and seeing my picture in there mm-hmm. and just being like, I was crying just nonstop because it was just, it's unreal to
it
be
is.
A part of something that much of a phenomenon.
Yes.
It
really is.
It's gorgeous.
Yes. Do you keep in touch with anyone from the cast still?
Yeah. I mean, some of my best friends are from that original cast. I mean, aww. I'm still very much in contact with Megan and Derek Williams and a lot of that ensemble I still see often. And yeah.
I love it.
I just saw Kristen the other night at a Disney concert hall in LA. She did a New Year's Eve show.
Oh, yes.
And I hadn't seen her in ages, so it was nice to see her. And
oh, my friend was at that concert.
Yeah, yeah. It was so much fun. Yeah. Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So what are some odd jobs you've had prior to acting?
Prior to acting, odd jobs I had were I worked at a pizza parlor mm-hmm. when I was in high school. When I first moved to New York, I worked at the Gap.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually when I was having my Wicked auditions. And I remember for my callback, I was scheduled to work and I asked for the shift off and they wouldn't give it to me and I just didn't show up.
Wow, I love that.
And I remember saying like, well, I can't miss this appointment, so I won't be at work that day. I just want to tell you.
Yes.
And I never went back. And I also was a hostess at a restaurant when I first moved to New York too. Those are the only non-performing odd jobs that I've had.
Okay. Yeah. Those are some good ones.
Yeah.
And favorite kind of pizza?
Pepperoni with black olives. Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's the jam.
Yes. Since making your Broadway debut, I mean, you kind of, I think, just answered this, but have you had to have another survival job in between gigs?
I've been really fortunate that, like, I haven't. I mean, they've all had to do with the arts. So, like, mm-hmm. teaching is the only non-performing job that I've had in between gigs. I taught at NYU for 3 years and I still, it's one of my biggest passions to do master classes and work with people, but that's it.
That's
and
incredible.
So it's still having to do with, being creative and artistic, knock on wood.
Yes.
We'll see.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And lastly for the game, two more questions, just kidding.
Okay.
So what role didn't you get that made you so mad you just couldn't believe you didn't get it?
Oh, gosh. There were two that I really wanted. And one I wanted because I wanted to play the role so desperately. Mm. The second one I wanted because I wanted a job so desperately and I was so close.
Mm.
So it wasn't like a role that I was like, I have to play that. But yeah. The first one was the Evita revival.
Oh,
And
one that just came with Ricky Martin.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I had auditioned. I'm trying to remember if this was for, because they did it in London first, right?
Yes, yes. Elena Roger did it in London before it came to Broadway. They brought it to Broadway with her because of her.
Okay,
yes.
So then it was probably for the London then because they flew me to, it was the week I had taken, second week I had taken over Elphaba from Shoshana. And then the producers let me go to London to audition. Thank you, David Stone. And they flew me to London and we auditioned at the Palace Theater on the stage for Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. And I was maybe one of two Americans that they brought over. I think the other person was Sarah Uriarte Berry. I don't remember for sure. And then I didn't get it.
Mm.
But so that one was like, I really wanted it. But yeah. Boo-hoo, I got to come back and be Elphaba. Like, it wasn't terrible. Like,
right.
I got over it real quick. And then the other one was disappointment, was Drood. I was like I remember the last two people were Steph and I at Ripley Greer. And we heard each other's auditions because you can hear everything in that. And obviously we know that she got it and if she should have gotten it because she was perfect in that show. But I was just at a time where I hadn't worked in so long and I was so close and I was just wanted a job. But like, that just goes to show you that what's meant to be yours will be yours.
Yes.
And anything that's isn't meant for you,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So yeah, those are the two.
Lastly for the game, when were you completely blindsided by a show's closing?
The only thing that I've closed like we are no longer rent, but I knew it was closing going into it. Mm-hmm. I knew we were the last cast. Yeah. So I would say that Brooklyn is really the only thing that I can say, but I was more blindsided that we didn't close sooner, if I'm being honest.
Yes, yeah.
Because, you know, we ran for about like 9 months. So there were a lot of weeks where I was like, oh, next week we're getting, oh, it's coming next week. Or, you know, we'd circle up before and we'd like, okay, guys, it's probably going to be soon, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a little opposite in that one, but that's the only one I've had that I've done that, you know.
You're fortunate that is only the one.
For sure.
All right. Well, we're going to do the last few questions.
Great.
And then that's going to be it.
Okay.
It goes so fast with you. You're so much fun.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So in addition to seeing you as Elphaba in Wicked, I also got to see you as Maureen in Rent. So now if Elphaba and Maureen were to meet, what advice do you think they would each give each other?
Ooh, I think that Maureen would encourage Elphaba to get to her like blooming place earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that Maureen would give Elfie some lessons and some influence in being your authentic self and no apologies, you know, because I feel like Maureen is so just out there and doesn't care and, you know, doesn't make any apologies for herself. So on the flip side, I think that Elphaba might give Maureen a couple lessons in when to use your voice for the best and when to choosing your battles a little bit more.
Yes.
And Maureen, in my opinion, like she's very self-centered, you know? So I think that Elphaba, because of the hardship she went through because of the color of her skin, I think that she was so used to looking at other people and taking care of other people. And I think that she might cause Maureen to think about other people's feelings a little bit more than her own.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
love that.
Thanks.
That's so great.
Thank you. That's a great question.
Oh, thank
you.
Yeah,
I love
thank
that.
You. For this next question, we're going to use the title of your song Easy from your sophomore album Revelation.
Yes.
So the song is about change. So what would you say is the biggest change you've made within yourself since your Broadway debut?
Woo!
We're getting deep.
I think that since my Broadway debut, so long ago, 16 years ago, I think the changes that I've made is that I don't take anything for granted. You know, throughout my career, if you just take my career in New York, there's definitely been peaks and valleys, and they've all been for specific reasons that I know now in hindsight. So I think that I'm grateful for all of those things, even though sometimes the valleys were like, can you please, can somebody throw me a bone? Can I get arrested, please? But I know to look for the lesson in everything now, which is, I'm so grateful for. I think that after all these years, I know that it's okay to be yourself in the fullest expression that you can, instead of trying to emulate or trying to recreate or trying to compare, which I love as well. And I have like confidence in myself that I'm the only one that's me.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be people who are better technicians and better musicians and better singers and better whatever, insert whatever, you know, word you want. But I'm still the only one that is like me.
Yes.
And that's badass.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we're up to the last question. So I always end my interviews playing off of the title of my podcast, Bearing It All with Call Me Adam.
Okay.
So if you were to bear it all and reveal something about yourself that you have not talked about in a previous interview, what would you tell me today?
I would tell you
Okay, this is so good.
Oh,
this
I can't wait.
Very good. Oh, I think I would tell you that I would tell people to never sacrifice themselves for the sake of a relationship or for the sake of an idea of a relationship. I think our society really like has muddied, clouded, romanticized, you know, relationships to, and like, I feel like they can't live up to what we expect them to be. Mm-hmm. And we lose sight of that. We're just two human beings trying to exist together. And that's going to take a lot of work and vulnerability and transparency. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this happened to me, and I feel like I meet a lot of people who all of a sudden get lost and they don't know who they are anymore because they're just trying so hard. And so I would say that it's okay to choose you first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
That's beautiful advice.
Thanks.
And it does happen to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And I can't think of what I just saw, but there was something I recently just saw that was like that exact sentiment. Mm. And it's a beautiful thing to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yes. Definitely.
Totally important.
Put yourself first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a selfish way,
right.
But it's like that analogy of putting the oxygen mask on yourself first. And you have to make sure that you're thriving before you can
help somebody else.
Yeah.
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 So that's what I'd say.
Well, that's wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you. So that's the whole interview.
Great.
I can't believe it's over already. Everybody listening to this podcast, you are going to come to Eden's show.
Yes, please.
Her residency at the Green Room 42, Unplugged and Unplanned. It starts February 9th and it goes through February 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have the ticket link at callmeadam.com.
Thank you so much,
welcome.
Adam.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. CallMeAdam.com.
Thanks for listening. For more Call Me Adam interviews, visit CallMeAdam.com. And follow me on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CallMeAdamNYC.
Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities. And I am here to tell you that yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview, sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, CallMeAdam.com, you can get your very own autographed copy.